Hey there, guys and ghouls.
You're tuned in to Broadcast from the Belfry, a self-isolated podcast for the morbidly curious.
Ain't that the truth? My name is Sanjay, and the other voice on this Skype call is Georgia. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm getting laid off,
Yeah,
so
it's
that's
not.
super exciting.
It like sucks that you're getting laid off, but it's also funny to me that like 2 days ago we recorded something where we mentioned that you had a job and now
I
you don't.
know. Literally the next day, they were like, "Hey guys, just kidding.
See,
You
this is
made it
what
3 weeks working at home."
I've got connections, and high. I've got friends in high and low places, as that song Alcoholics Like says.
Do you know who sings that song?
No, I don't.
That's what I thought.
I
That's
don't,
fine.
because I'm not an alcoholic now. I'm recovered. I'm reformed.
It's Garth Brooks.
Why would I know that?
I don't like country, but I know that, and I know all the words to that song.
I mean,
Also, if you hear another noise, it's Luna purring really loudly.
oh yeah, she's very excited. I had to kick all my cats out because Zero likes to walk on keyboards, which is not good right now.
Ow!
Lemon likes
Yep.
to lay on my lap and mess with whatever's around me when I'm by myself, which would be my microphone and a bunch of other shit. Just a lot of stuff that I don't want touched right now. So,
Oh,
yeah.
yeah, Luna wouldn't step on my laptop keyboard right now, but when I'm working, she tries to lay on my work keyboard. And the other day, she like opened a bunch of random shit with all the F keys, and I had no idea what was going on.
Nice.
It was great.
Do you think anyone's like use sticky keys on purpose, or do you think that you can only like accidentally do it?
We have like sticky shortcuts at work, so
That's terrifying. So you just have to have an adult job. That's why I don't understand it. Maybe one day I'll have a sticky key and I'll be excited about it.
I don't really use them, but I know that there are other people at work who do.
Fair. Are you ready to? Oh, today's episode is different because Sanjay's in
Yeah.
charge, so it's probably going to be way shorter than normal. So I guess get ready for that. But
I'm
also,
slightly terrified.
yeah, it's going to be poorly organized because I got irritated researching this very early on.
This
Right.
is why college is dumb, but
Yep.
this is also why I love college because I really like researching.
We like the opposite parts of college. Like, I like meeting new people and being put in different scenarios and learning little bits of different stuff and like networking. And you like reading
I
a
like
lot.
writing papers. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
it
great.
sucks.
No, wait, before we begin, I'm gonna tell you that my brain was doing that thing where it wasn't really thinking about anything when I was at work today. And okay, so have you ever heard of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency?
I've heard of Dirk Gently. I don't know if that's like an internet meme. Like, which I guess just a meme. I don't know
It's
if
a show.
that's.
Well, it's a show based on a book.
Nope. I've heard of it, but I don't
So,
know why.
and the book is written by Douglas Adams,
Cool
who
name.
wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, we just started season two of Dirk Gently, and it started off in some like weird fantasy kind of D&D land, and they were fighting, but they had scissors instead of swords. And so I
Interesting.
was like, holy shit, that would be awesome for D&D if you could like design a weapon that's based on a sword. And then I was like, what if it was a necromancer who was kind of like Dr. Frankenstein? Maybe kind of like, you watched Soul Eater, right?
Watched Alita Battle Angel?
No, Soul Eater.
Oh, yes, I watched that too.
Okay, Dr. Stein, he's like
Yeah.
always taking shit apart and cutting people open. What if you had a necromancer kind of like Stein? And then their weapon, maybe they'd have to be dual classed because they would also fight with a weapon instead of just magic, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But like, and the scissors can like flip around and do all kinds of crazy shit, and sometimes they're like a double-edged sword, and then sometimes they're a regular sword, and you can cut people's heads off literally with the scissors.
If I wasn't so lazy, I would definitely homebrew that. That sounds real spicy.
I know. I'm gonna flesh it out one day when I play D&D again. I keep saying that my next character is going to be my Gerard Way bard, but I don't know. It might be that.
On a surprisingly related note, roll d'initiative. Today we're talking about D&D.
Are we really?
We are, yeah. Today's episode is going to be about the history and, like, some, like, a specific fact about D&D.
Okay, that's really nerdy. But before we crack open a cold one, shout out to one William Feathers for sharing on brand virtual tours with the Facebook group so that people can participate in spooky things from the comfort of their homes. He shared Dracula's Castle and the Paris Catacombs. Mm-hmm. I've added both of those to my schedule for the furlough.
You have too much free time already. You don't even have free time yet, and you already have too much free time.
Oh, I'm like writing an entire schedule for my 7 weeks that I'm not working, and it's fine. Don't worry about it. I don't have a problem.
Yeah,
And then I shared one for the Winchester Mystery House. So there's three virtual tours that you can access through our Facebook group, which means you should join it, probably.
I think we've mentioned that a couple times, but not in quite a few episodes. We do have a Facebook community group, so if you want to see a bunch of weird, spooky stuff and just, like, general conversation, when you can do that. Just join the group. It's super easy. It's like 3 clicks, unless you're me, then it takes 6 months and 3 clicks.
Yeah, Sanjay was not a part of our Facebook group.
No, but I was
for the majority it's existed. But he was an admin for it, yeah.
Yeah, it's so now I feel like I have to explain it. So I thought I was in it, and Georgia and everyone was like, no, you're not in it. But every time I pulled it up on my phone, it would say, like, you're an admin, you were in this group. And it turns out it's because Facebook was defaulting to Broadcast from the Belfry every time I opened up the group page, and it wouldn't let me switch over until, like, an update or something happened. So for the first, like, 6 months, we had a Facebook page. I was not in it, technically. I was just adminning it and didn't realize it. So, yeah, that was fun. Just real, real spicy energy.
We have stickers also. We haven't mentioned that lately. I don't know if I can order stamps online, so I don't know if I can mail any out. But if you want some stickers, they're $2.
Yeah, we can get them from the post office still.
Do you want to go in the post office? Do they have the floors taped off like everywhere else does?
I went like 2 weeks ago and they didn't, but that was before everything was like super, super bad. I guess there's just a lot of old people in there now asking really kind of dumb questions and trying to get out of the house casually. But because there's still 20 old people in this post office at the same time, they are more likely to get each other sick than if they just called or went like at a normal time. So yeah, don't go to the post office between like 11 and 2 unless you want Night of the Living Dead 3 to happen.
But I'm wondering if I can, because you can get stamps at, you can't get stamps at Dylan's anymore. Damn it. Wait,
you can't.
You can still get stamps. I think you can still get stamps. You just can't mail anything out.
You might not be able to do anything now.
I'm pretty sure you can get. Either way, maybe I should order. I try order stamps when I order my groceries.
I'll just go. If you can't, I'll just go get some and drop them off in your mailbox. It's fine.
Okay. Sounds great.
So today, we're talking about D&D. Da-da-da-da is what that stands for. So
that's the Addams Family. That's super different.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, that's weird. That's been my, like, go-to, like, filler sound for a long time, and didn't realize it was that. Subconsciously spooky. I hate it. So, Gary Gygax, father of D&D. We're going to cover that in a second, but very important knowledge is that he married his wife, Mary Jo, in 1958.
My mom was born.
Your mom is hopefully not Mary Jo Gygax, because...
No.
Fuck. Okay. Yeah, so Gary Gygax was born in Chicago and then moved to Geneva, Wisconsin for gang reasons when he was a kid. He had a group of friends and they would hang out and just do kid stuff or whatever. And literally every source I found on this said, due to gang activity or due to pressure from a rival gang, Gary Gygax's dad was like, hey, get the fuck out of there. We gotta move somewhere else. So they moved to Geneva, which is a super whatever town. Fast forward a long time, we'll jump back later. He marries his wife in 1958, and in 1967, Gary Gygax founded the International Federation of Wargaming. He was a huge nerd, and at that time there was a lot of sci-fi and fantasy like miniature games to play. So he actually found his basis in a book written by H.G. Wells in 1911 regarding war setup, and that kind of inspired him to move on. And
what book was it?
I don't remember. I didn't write that down because I didn't care. I was like, oh, H.G. Wells.
Nerd.
I told you, this isn't my thing. My thing is being sassy. Little Wars is the name of the book.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Little Wars published in 1913. And yeah, the IFW was founded by Gary Gygax and some randos so they could just talk about wargaming and stuff. Gygax's wife also was positive the entire duration of their marriage that Gary Gygax was cheating on her because he was gone all the time. And a couple of times...
Being a nerd?
Yeah, he actually barged into a friend's house that he said he was staying at, or the location where he said he was going to be, and it would just be a bunch of sweaty grown men surrounding a green table, and they'd just be like moving war pieces, eating Doritos, you know, like the things nerds do, just in general.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That poor woman.
Yeah. After the IFW was founded, he founded the first Lake Geneva War Games Convention, which is Gen Con. My entire life, I haven't known why it's called Gen Con, because I'm a lazy POS, but for those of you who don't know, Gen Con is kind of like San Diego Comic-Con, as a hub of just general nerd culture. A lot of really big games producers will announce their stuff, board game producers will announce their stuff there. A lot of celebrities will show up, and it's just a few days for you to be in a condensed area surrounded by dumb nerds as well. So he founded that in the town that he'd been living in, and kind of had it under IFW. So they were paying for his event, which was pretty sweet, and also made him incrementally less poor, which is nice. At Gen Con, he met Dave Arneson, and these two were love at first sighting it up, you know? Just two guys, just touching belly buttons, just really bonding over their war games. And a couple of years after that, they founded the Lake Geneva Tactical Studies Association, which was just like a kind of smaller version of Gen Con that would move around a little bit, with Don Kay, who was Gygax's best friend growing up that he had to move away from because of his gang activities.
Sucks to suck.
Yeah, for real. After that, he founded Castle and Crusade Society, where they invented a continent named the Great Kingdom, which became the setting for the Chainmail Campaign. The Chainmail Campaign was the beginning of Blackmoor Fantasy, which was kind of a like subsect that Arneson started, and that's when the region of Dungeons and Monsters and Treasure was first mentioned, like, in Gygax's life, and in, like, all of their, like, combined gaming. So, from there, Arneson published Facts on the Black Moor, which was published in the Castle and Crusade Society newsletter, which just got a bunch of people reading into his campaign and kind of keeping up to date weekly with what he was doing. And after he demonstrated the game at Gen Con later, Dave McGarry demonstrated his own Dungeons of Pashakata, which was just shortened to Dungeon! Exclamation point later, because no one has any original ideas. And in 1993, it begins. All the nerds got in a big circle. They touch each other's palms. They sweat the same Mountain Dew. and started working on the first draft of the Dungeons and Dragons, the Dungeons and Dragons first manual. Also, if you can hear a lot of tapping, I'm sorry about that, I guess. I don't know if I can do anything about it. That'll make it better or worse. We'll find out as a family. And in 94, D&D had its first novel published. It was three different booklets, and each one of those is stupid expensive. They were literally just, like, you went to Staples and had, like, small bundles of papers put together.
Don't they have a copy at Goblin Games that's, like, $200 or some shit?
That's not even the first edition. They have AD&D 2, which came out about 10 or 15 years later. If you go to MoPop in Seattle, the Museum of Pop Culture, and what's the rest of that name? Is that it?
I don't remember.
Yeah. If you go to MoPop, they have one of the three booklets that came out in the first edition in the museum, and they are dummy expensive. It's really bad, considering D&D first ed and second ed were both pretty bad. If you ask me personally, I've played AD&D 2, and boy howdy, it definitely makes sense why it was such a big thing, because it's literally just you in a fantasy setting, and you deal insane damage, but it's also impossible to hit anything. Like, ACs are, like, really, really, really high, and you cannot get new equipment, and balancing is really bad. So, I don't know. I can kind of see why people were interested at first, because it was a initial foray into something like this, and it was unheard of, like, at all. But also, if you have the chance, don't play AD&D 2. It's so bad. Not a good time. Would not.
Museum of Pop Culture.
That's it? Wow.
I think I went to a Star... This is going to make me sound like a real fucking nerd, but I think I went to a Star Trek exhibit there, like, 10 years ago. No, it was more than that, like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Before I even, like, thought about moving there or anything.
That does make you sound like a huge nerd. It's just...
Yeah, I know.
When I was in Seattle the first time we went, and I think... So they have a fantasy, a music, a sci-fi, and then a rotating, I think. Or maybe they just have the fantasy and sci-fi and two rotating. So they were doing a Pearl Jam exhibit for the music one, and had, like, all this Pearl Jam stuff, like, thrown everywhere, and a bunch of, like, really old people just living their best hearts, you know, like, finding their truth, just Pearl Jamming it up. And I was very uncomfortable walking through that, because people were, like, decked out head to toe in this gear and were really excited that someone young was there, but I've never heard a Pearl Jam song, I don't think, like, ever. So
you totally have. I promise you, you have.
Every time someone says that, it's just not true, though. I live in a cave. Like, the cave by Mumford & Sons, like, written about me.
You have to have... No. In, like, a movie or something, you've totally heard one somewhere. Also, have you seen Into the Wild?
No, I don't think so.
With Alexander Supertramp?
I don't think so, no. Also, fake name. Ugh. Great porn name.
Well, that is his fake name, but... okay, never mind. It's based on a true story, but that soundtrack's all done by Eddie Vedder, who is the lead singer of Pearl Jam.
Why would I have watched that?
It's like a hipster movie.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Cool.
It's about he, like, graduates, and then he gives away all of his stuff, and he just drives around in a van, and it's based on a true story, and he, like, hitchhikes if he needs to, and he ends up going into the Alaskan wilderness, and he ends up dying out there.
Whoa.
It's based on a book written by John Krakauer, and yeah, they made it into a movie. Like, Steve Vaughn is that his name?
Vince Vaughn. Yeah, I was like,
who's Steve Vaughn?
Like Steve Jobs. Like, I think that's what you were trying to say.
Vince Vaughn is in it, And who else is in it? I think Kristen Stewart's in it, which is really annoying, but that was before Twilight, so.
Hey, I like Kristen Stewart. She only does one role, but like she does that role very well. She's like Michael Cera or Vin Diesel or a bunch of other rich people that aren't me.
The Rock.
Yeah, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He has range. Okay, I was playing Geek Out. No, not Geek Out. I was playing Taboo with some friends right before the quarantine started. And on, it was actually right after, because it was right after I got furloughed. The teams were team unemployed, but cute, and team employed, but sad. And obviously, I was team unemployed, but cute. And my friend's boyfriend, who I've only spoken to 3 times, was on my team. And he flips up the card and goes, The Rock plays this character in a weird role. And I was like, the Tooth Fairy? And he goes, correct. And then just like keeps going. And everyone's like, how did you get that? I'm like, because it was a good but weird role, obviously. And it's the only one where he doesn't play himself. So it's pretty easy to tell. That was the like the differentiating thing. More D&D. So yeah, they sold like 1,000 copies the first year, which was a lot in 70s literature because no one could read until 85, a little known fact. And in 95, Tomb of Horrors was released as kind of an expansion novel or an expansion setting. Tomb of Horrors has since then become, for those of you that don't play D&D, I forgot that that actually is like a very likely thing. Tomb of Horrors is the one shot, being the gaming session that you can do in one setting without any work done prior or any attachments afterwards that most people will adapt for new players. It generally takes around like 4 to 6 hours, and you've probably seen a lot of things based off of it in other kinds of media. So a lot of just like general dungeon crawling is based in storytelling or in physical likeness to Tomb of Horrors. It was actually the first D&D thing I ever did back in the day. So, a solid throwback. Do-do-do-do. In 77, D&D was split into basic and advanced versions. So if you were a super weenie, you could play the basic version where you're just like on Super Weenie Hut Junior Island and you have the same rules, but like the monsters are kind of dumbed down and there's like less stuff to do. Or you could get the advanced and you're just nothing but guns and knives 24/7. That's it. Nothing
Salty
else.
Spittoon.
Yeah. So you could choose if you're Weenie Hut General or a Salty Spittoon. And obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, Weenie Hut. So you wouldn't have known. I
Salty
wouldn't have known.
Spittoon.
You're Georgia, you are not Salty Spittoon. You're Weenie Hut too.
Nuh-uh. You know what? I've always wanted to go to Cock and Bull because I feel like that's Manhattan's Salty Spittoon.
Is that the place that's by the police department? It kind of.
The no, it's up kind of by Briggs.
Yeah, that's by the police department.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah, I also would like to go there just because I want to get knocked unconscious for 6 to 10 years.
I was gonna say,
I
do
think
you
that's a
want
good
to
place to
get
do it.
murdered?
Yeah, hopefully. And when they split D&D to basic and advanced versions, that was the first time that you got click clacks with the physical like gear. And as any D&D player knows, your dice, your polyhedral set, your 7 pieces of wisdom, those click clacks, they are defining. They are the big things. The only reason we actually play D&D, we just like rolling stuff.
You just want to spend money on dice that you'll never actually use because they're pretty.
True. I only have 3 sets though, and I use them all technically. I feel like I have less than the average person, like the average like committed D&D player, because I just have
Yeah.
my DM set and then 2 player sets. And if it's a new session or a new campaign, I'll use 1 set. But if it's something I've continued doing, I'll use like my older set.
as a method. I'm a big fan of my metal ones. So they just feel so good in your hand, and they then you roll nice. Them, and they just sound like an earthquake is happening on the table, and it's beautiful. The plastic ones just feel so light in comparison. Like, I don't know. Because
they're made of plastic, not metal.
Yeah.
Like, they don't feel... It's not like they're, like, ball pit balls, you know? They're not that light, but they're definitely not made of earth, made from the earth.
I think that all houses should come with a small room that is filled with balls.
Why?
So that everyone has a ball pit. I don't know. Would that just not be... enjoyable to jump into every once in a while? You just open like your ball pit door and you dive in, and then you're like, oh fuck, I lost my phone, and you freak out for a minute, and then you have to dive to find your phone. Terrible. And you're like, now I remember why I only come in here twice a month.
No, you get home and your spouse is like, hey honey, how was work? And you're like, I don't want to talk about it, had a rough day in the stock market, I gotta go to the room. And your spouse is like, all right, well, it's ready for you. And you take off your suit jacket and your loafers. For you, your pantsuit jacket and your pant loafers, open a door and just jump headfirst into a ball pit just in your basement. Just swim around.
What if it was a ball pit, but there was also a bar in there, so you could, like, have your friends over. You're all hanging out in the ball pit, mix up some cocktails, you know, maybe you got, like, a pony keg in there.
Okay.
Chilling.
Another spinoff. So not a ball pit, not a bar pit, but a brawl pit. You literally go downstairs and just beat the shit out of your friends. That's it. Just in a tight-knit circle. A club of fighting, you could call it.
That's basically Fight Club.
It's not. No, it's a club of fighting. There's a difference.
Okay.
But also, the first stipulation is that you should not talk about the club of fighting.
Also, okay, back to the ball pit. You have...
Welcome to the ball pit from the Belfry.
You got your bar, and then maybe you have a projector screen in there, and you can, like, fashion some of the balls into chairs, and then you play Smash Bros. Brawl on the projector screen in your ball pit while you're drinking your cocktails from the bar pit.
For some reason, also, my mic just fell down, so that was fun. I thought you were going to say you can watch Cars 2. Like, for some reason, that was the only movie I could think of. Like,
I've never seen either Cars movie.
You're missing out. Have you heard Life is a Highway by Rascal Flatts?
Unfortunately, yes.
That's pretty
much the movie, cover.
So you're good.
It's a cover.
I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure that is a Rascal Flatts original piece of
cinema.
No,
it's not.
I've seen Cars, you haven't. You can't tell me I'm wrong here.
I'm 90% sure it's by Joe Walsh.
I think that guy was a K-State professor.
No, he was not. Mike Wesch? That's a K-State professor.
I've heard it both ways.
Life is
a... Are you looking up Life is a Highway right now?
Yes.
Just watch Cars 2. This is now becoming a listen-through podcast.
Who sang? Oh, it's Tommy Cochran. Never mind. Still, it's a cover. Because Rascal Flatts sucks.
I mean, Johnny Cochran isn't in the Cars soundtrack. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Johnny Cochran.
Yeah. Okay, so the first year that D&D stuff was produced, they only sold like 1,000 copies, which was like I said, pretty solid considering no one could read before 85. In 1980, they went up to 250,000 units of books sold. Literally,
dang.
Like, so many people were like, I want to be alone and sad forever. Give me that book. I don't want girls to talk to me.
And so many people were like, wow, my life fucking sucks. I need this fantastical escape to feel something.
I mean, that's more accurate. That's just, don't at me like that. I don't appreciate it. It was during the same year, 1980, that the Deities and Demigods Cyclopedia was released, and that's when a bunch of the, like, super negative stereotypes started, with D&D being, like, a demon-summoning cult. So, a lot of, like...
Well, obviously, have you seen Stranger Things?
I mean, no, I haven't. Should I watch it? Do things keep getting stranger?
I really like season 1. Season 2 is fine, season 3 is fine, but season 1 is, like, the best one.
Yeah, I've definitely watched it. I also liked season one, and then I think I actually got really jaded. So the whole reason we're actually doing a D&D podcast is because I'm a jaded child, and I'm upset that D&D wasn't cool when I was growing up, but now it's like super cool and acceptable. And part of that is due to shows like Stranger Things that just kind of like made it. Like showed what the likeliness or showed a like likeness showed an accurate representation of the show. There we go. Those are real words. Because it is just a bunch of youths sitting around a table looking through books for
Drinking
something
soda
that's
and
cool.
eating candy
Yeah,
and
dude.
spending an entire day in a basement.
That's it. A sweaty, sweaty 1979 basement.
Or my apartment in New Year's Day, January 1st, 2019, when I had our D&D group over for 8 hours, got super drunk. It was great.
Oh yeah, I was invited to that, but I was out of town. I forgot about that. Yeah, you guys were monsters, apparently.
I cannot read the notes that I took that session because I was drunk.
No,
It was bad.
exactly. The fact that you could write is apparently a blessing. Like that is shocking in itself.
It's fine.
It's definitely.
My favorite depiction of D&D in the media is hands down Community.
Oh, yeah.
And we haven't made a Community reference in a while, so I'm bringing it back.
We
It's
won't
on Netflix
today.
now, and if you haven't seen it, you should fucking watch it.
It's somewhere in my notes. But yeah, in 2011, the AD&D community episode aired, which is like one of the probably four best episodes.
Oh yeah, it's a great episode.
It's like the two paintball episodes and the two D&D episodes are just the four best episodes, period. Actually, no, the one where they with the housewarming party is like
The housewarming
really
party is
good.
great. The episode where they go into like 8-bit mode is also great.
Yes.
There's the anthropology episode is one of my favorites, but that's just because
Bias.
I'm an anthropology major.
Nerd.
But yeah, the D&D episode is great. And that was my like before I ever played D&D, that was mostly my foundation of what I knew about D&D, which is very not accurate.
No, not really. And it's
And
closer
when
than
I
a lot of
started,
other things, though.
yeah, when I started watching it again, I was like, they didn't roll for initiative. This is bullshit.
Yep. One of my friends started a new campaign recently, and he just doesn't have us roll for a lot of stuff, and it's his first time DMing. And one of the other guys would just be like, "Are we rolling or not?" And it's so funny. Like, dude, calm down. What else happened around this time? Well, so after that, White Dwarf magazine published one of the tomes from AD&D, which was like the biggest thing to happen to D&D in modern times. Are you familiar with White Dwarf magazine?
No.
Well, fake nerd. White Dwarf does a lot of like Warhammer stuff, so they do a lot of supplemental like selling. So like paints and minis and dice and stuff like that. And the company was founded in like 75, so it was around a little bit before D&D got really big. So they kind of just like D&D piggybacked on White Dwarf and then that carried it into the UK. Also, I keep
Is White
yawning.
Dwarf anything like Red Dwarf, the show?
I don't know what Red Dwarf is, so I'm gonna say no and just stick to my guns.
It's this really ridiculous British show from what year was that? Like the 90s, I think. And oh my God, it's like set in space. Like Red Dwarf is the name of the ship. And it's set in space, and everyone was like cryogenically frozen, and then only one guy got woken up. And so it's like him, and then there's a hologram, and then there's the cat who like actually mutated into a person, which is hilarious because he's a person who acts like a cat, but he's also like super smooth.
Do you mean like personality smooth or like he's just real shaved? Like a real shaven?
Personalities. Hold on. I'll pull up a picture and I'll show you. It's from 1988. All the best things are from 1988.
I wasn't born.
That's when I was born. So let me see. So I don't know if you'll be able to see this, but we'll try. No, I hate how Google is like fucked up pictures now. Cat. This is the cat.
Okay. That's very interesting.
He's great. This is his other outfit. It's amazing.
What is this show?
It's like, it's sci-fi British comedy.
It sounds like there's an episode of Love, Death, and Robots that sounds like, and it sounds like the show Grey Matter from Dark Matter from like 2011, 2012, where they like wake up on a ship and no one has memory, and they like, or like one wakes up and then wakes up everybody else, and it's a whole thing.
No. I'll try and find a good clip and I'll like post it on the Facebook group because it's funny. I don't know.
It's British funny. So
now I want to see if it's still
kind of funny.
Oh my God. British funny is the best one. Shut your face, hole.
Sure. Okay. White Dwarf did that. And 1982 was the first appearance of D&D and something else, with E.T., the extraterrestrial.
Wow.
Yeah, that was humble beginnings. Also, I hate that movie. So
I'm not a fan of it. I don't know why everybody is crazy about it.
No, I...
Honestly.
Is that my cat? Yep. Excuse Diamond crying in the background. He hasn't seen me in an hour, and he's really sad about it. It sounds like I'm bragging, but, like, no. If I'm home, we have to see each other every, like, 30 minutes or he gets sad. But when I was in, like, fourth grade, everyone figured out that my middle initials were E.T., and everyone just yelled E.T. phone home at me for, like, the better part of a year and did, like, the
finger thing. Do you have two middle names?
Yep. I do.
I don't know what your middle names are. That stresses me out.
No, it sucks for you. My middle names are... Edward Tortellini. That's that. Sanjay.
That's
Edward
fake news.
Tortellini Baker. I'm gonna name my first.
You don't bake tortellini, for fuck's sake.
You can, technically. It's just not great. Alright, and 83. TSR Hobbies, which is the company that he started, splits into TSR Inc., and it's because of some shit. So, one of the guys that was co-owning that company with Gary Gygax, also, this is the real, like, the main reason I wanted to talk about D&D. So, on top of us being, like, big D&D fans and, like, supporting it and, like, supporting your local artists that, like, make supplemental material, is that Gary Gygax is a piece of shit, dude. So, the co-owner of TSR at the time hated Gary Gygax's guts because he was just being a, like, really, like, douchey piece of shit. He was starting to get a lot of income and was, like, getting really holier-than-thou about it. So it started off with a lot of the people being upset because D&D was summoning demons and, like, heresy and stuff, and Gygax was a Jehovah's Witness at the time, along with his wife and his three kids. So they were getting harassed so much just from, like, inside and outside of the church. No, the other way around. Jehovah's Witnesses and, like, other people that didn't even personally know them, but just knew that they were Jehovah's Witnesses and that he was the demons guy, were harassing them to the extent that they had to leave the church. And Mary Jo, his wife, was super upset about it because she was still catching a lot of flack for it since she was the one at home with the kids. So, she also started to resent that Gygax was playing games so much and, like, spending so much time, like, with his friends, like, with the boys, and, you know, neglecting his family. So she became an alcoholic, and the two were, like, getting in screaming matches on the daily, and Gygax started, heavily smoking the devil's lettuce, because he'd lost his, like, big boy job a couple of years before, and he was like, I don't have responsibilities now, fuck it, kids. He's, like, started smoking insane amounts, and also started heavily doing cocaine.
Oh, like, dang.
Yeah.
Some nose candy.
Yeah. After that, or I guess along the same time, he also started having multiple affairs at the same time. Like, and just bringing women back to his house and just, like, telling his kids to chill about it. Which is why he got a divorce in 83. So, it, like, started out with a kiss, which was him leaving the Jehovah's Witness church, and it ended up like this. Him addicted to cocaine and smoking bowls a day without a wife. And on the positive side, later that year, the D&D cartoon aired and held its number one time slot for 2 years, which was pretty impressive. At the same time, so the new people that were running TSR with Gygax did not like him either. Like, he was still being a piece of shit, and since he...
So no one likes him.
Yeah, honestly. And since he could just do whatever he wanted, he was just, like, off the hook, like, all the time. So they sent him to Hollywood to produce the show, just because it was mindless, and he didn't actually need to do anything. He was pretty much getting sent to Hollywood just to, like, to be babysat by the showrunners. And when he was over there, he rented a fat mansion, like, insanely big mansion, ramped up his cocaine habit, and always had several, like, young women with him at any given time. Like, he was the Hugh Hefner of the nerd world, apparently, for quite a few years. In time back to the beginning, D&D was also first translated into French. That was the...
Interesting.
Yeah, the very first language, which you probably would have...
So guessed. The French are the next nerdiest culture. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. They literally invented the phrase "rôle d'initiative." You know, it's a whole thing.
Yeah. It's not like he's super sexy or anything. So
no, he's just dummy rich. Like his wallets. He has multiple wallets, all of which are thick.
It's all about the money and the coke, man.
Mm-hmm. If you
those '80s girls.
Those 80s or 2020 girls. That's all it takes, man.
Yep.
Me, I have so little of both that it still is very boastful, you know? It's very impressive. It's very poor. Does not know where to get
cocaine. I have no cocaine and I'm on unemployment, so...
Since I've been unemployed... you've watched most of It's Always Sunny, right?
No, I've seen a little bit of it.
Okay, so there's an episode where Dee and Dennis get on unemployment, and they also get addicted to meth. Like, they get unemployment so they can have more money for meth, specifically. And
oh my.
They're sitting on the, like, on a doorstep singing Just a Friend by Biz Markie, and they're just, they're like, you gotta sound poor, you gotta make your voice deeper. And since I've been on unemployment, it's been, like, very hard for me to not just, like, reference that every day. That's one of my favorite It's Always Sunny episodes. It's so funny. I think that's also the episode they get addicted to crack, not meth. And that's the episode where Mac and Charlie are wearing, like, suits and top hats, and they walk up and they say, boo-hoo, did somebody get addicted to crack? Which is used in a lot of memes now. Yeah, so a little more culture not related to this. Gen Con moved to Milwaukee in 2002. More stuff came out. An ant walked across my desk and it scared me. And second edition...
That's historically important.
It is. Second edition was released in 89, which was a really, really long amount of time, if you ask me. And in 91, Neverwinter Nights came out. Were you a Neverwinter Nights kid, Georgia?
Nope. I didn't play D&D until I was 30.
No.
Well, 29.
No, Neverwinter Nights is an MMO. It's, like, one of the first. So, like, WoW is obviously the biggest, is still. But Neverwinter came out, like, forever ago. I don't think it's had any updates. And it's still... Neverwinter Nights, like, the sequel, is still one of the biggest MMOs for having no support. It makes no sense. It's, like... WoW, Final Fantasy XIV, EverQuest and Neverwinter are consistently like in the top five, and they kind of just like change places a little
no.
bit. No, man,
just
you,
no.
You missed out. I'm upset for you, but it's okay. Doing the
it happens.
Normally, it's you being upset at me or disappointed in me. So it was a good rotation.
I'm disappointed in you.
Okay, well, a chance to redeem yourself. Did you ever watch the D&D like movie from 2000? No.
No.
Okay.
Have you seen Darkness Rising?
Yes. Yes, I have.
I watched that.
Dude, very solid.
That's it.
So that was like a few years later. Yeah, that was 8 years later. So it's still like pretty solid.
That was very low quality.
No, yes, it was. The D&D 2000 movie is also terrible quality. Darkness Rising is at least funny though. Like they acknowledged that it was not going to be a great movie, and they just went with
true.
It. I watched both of them with my old roommates, Blake and Michael. Shout out to The Realist. All of our birthdays are coming up. We're born within a week of each other. And, yeah, it was just not good. Michael was just, like, insistent that these were going to change our lives. And was, like, hyping them up to be actually good pieces of media. And I love them, and I think everyone should watch them, but for the exact opposite reason. They were just that terrible that I'm like, no one should not experience this. It's unnecessary. Fast forward a little bit, and Neverwinter Nights gets real, real fat. We get D&D 3.0, third edition, which I don't think anyone I know has ever played. Like, do you know anyone that's played third edition?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, like, I have played second and know a few people that have. I've played everything after third, but whatever. After third came, debatably, the best D&D, like, spinoff with 3.5, also to be known as Pathfinder. Did you play Pathfinder either?
I've never played anything specifically by Pathfinder rules, but when Kareem started, well, because Kareem's homebrewed campaign was like the first thing I'd ever played, and he didn't really use, he like tended towards 5e, but not always, but I also like learned a lot about D&D by listening to the Dungeons and Randomness podcast, and they were using 3.5. So a lot of what I first learned about D&D was from Pathfinder.
Okay, that's very fair. And that was also one of the most in-depth D&D like expansions. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just gave you a wide breadth of things you could do and literally made it feel like you could do anything you wanted. There's still, the books for that are still like really expensive just because it, some people just prefer it. I completely skipped over 4.0. I played it a little bit and was very upset. Went back to 3.5 and then stuck with that until 5th came out.
So, yeah, I think that's what also happened on Dungeons and Randomness too. They tried to do 4.0 for a minute and they were like, this sucks. Good.
Yeah.
And so I now am the new, like, because it's still, I mean, it's been going on for years now. And they just started the third part of their campaign. It's like hands down my favorite. I know everyone likes Critical Role, but Dungeons and Randomness is hands down my favorite D&D podcast. But they it started off with guys who had a like WWE podcast who just recorded themselves playing D&D together, and it started off like real fucking dumb, just guys, like typical bunch of dudes playing D&D together. Think like, I'd say kind of how David's current campaign is with like Corey and Steven and Stu.
Dudes being dudes.
Just like murdering people for no reason and burning things down because they can and stuff like that. But then it turns into, like, without spoiling too much, basically all of that stuff. They kind of do a bunch of dumb things like that. They go and, I can't remember, they go into this cave to retrieve this artifact. They end up, in the time that they were battling whoever was in the cave, they come out, 17 years have passed, even though it was only, like, a couple hours for them.
Whoa.
And so, the DM is just so good at coming up with storylines, and so 17 years have passed, and they actually have to, like, start taking responsibility for all the, like, dumb shit that they did.
Yeah.
And he managed to turn that into this really intense story. And then he does, like, three separate groups who are all within the world at the same time. They don't really interact with each other, but the choices that each group make within their part of the story affects the other group's part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they'll hear about each other and they, like, might, you know who each other is or something. And in the first part, one group was, so, like, you had your two, like, your rebel forces groups, and everyone was getting so, like, on their side that he ended up creating a third group of, like, basically the Imperial Army. And so you could kind of get, like, both sides of the story, and you're like, oh fuck, damn. Now I don't know whose side I want to be on. And it's, like, really intense. And the second part is, like, super polished, like, great storytelling. He's just such a good DM.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good at voices. He's really good at, like, coming up with random shit on the fly. He's really good at creating really intense stories. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned that one before, and I've heard it a couple other places as just, like, a very good alternative, because Critical Role is the biggest D&D podcast at this point, mm-hmm. but, and, like, the critters are, like, a very good community as well, but shit's long, man. Like, they are so deep into every campaign they've done. I've only, like, in the first 50 episodes of the first season, so I still have, like, 18 trillion episodes to go, and it's just it feels more like a chore.
I'm like, Dungeons and Randomness, I mean, their episodes are, like, 3 hours long, because it's a session,
mm-hmm.
but they, like, each segment might go on for, like, a year, and then they take a break, but at the end of every part, they do, like, an hour-long recap of everything that happened. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to go back and listen to everything that happened in the first season, you can just listen to the recap, and then you're caught up and ready to go, like, on the next part. Or you can just jump in, because I started listening at some random-ass episode, and I had no idea what had happened in the last part and a half. But you kind of, like, you can at least catch up. Mm-hmm. Enough, you can, like, hear what's going on, and then if you decide that you are intrigued enough to go back and listen to the backstory, you can. But if you just want to, like, kind of figure it out as you go, then, like, yeah, you miss out on some, like, one part. In the second part, one of the groups had most of the characters got switched out, like, the players got switched out, but there was one guy playing a half orc in part two, who in the first part was a tiefling, and he's the one that he made this, like, treaty with this town, and it's referred to as, his character's name was Malphus, it's referred to as Malphus's folly throughout, like, by the everyone ever, and that happened before the 17 years passed. And in the second part, so his new character is this half-orc, and they come across this town, and they meet this character who's putting on a play, and they agree to help him. And so the character who played Malphus now has to play a half-orc that is the orc that Malphus originally made the treaty with.
Fuck.
So it's just, like, little Easter eggs like that. It's mm-hmm. really fun. He's really good at just, like, writing these stories that are full of Easter eggs and shit like that.
I'm here for it. We're here to play good D&D.
Yep.
So we've also covered that it took, like, 20 years for second edition and then, like, 20 more years for third edition to come out. It took, like, 5 years before they made fourth because third was so ass. So just, like, we love it when a entity or, like, name like acknowledges how bad they're doing, and they're just like, fuck it, we'll do it live. And so they did that. They released fifth edition in 2014, and that's the pretty much the like overall history of D&D. They also, a thing that I enjoy is they every like every big anniversary they'll do something for like something D&D related for the players. So they've done like compendiums of guides, or they've like relaunched an old story or something like that, kind of just to like bring an old concept into like the modern like time. Have we talked about what they did for the 25th anniversary, or for whatever anniversary came up a couple weeks ago? I think it was the 40, 45th. Did we talk about
I
that?
don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Let me make sure that it was the 45th. I'm like pretty sure it was. We're not here to spread false information.
No fake news.
No fake news. Yep, so for the 45th anniversary of D&D, they
Dang.
made sapphire dice. So they're solid aluminum dice, and I wish I could show you a picture. Whoop. You might still be able to buy them. No, you can't. They were released in December. I'm sorry. But so yeah, I'll try to show you this. Ugh. They're solid aluminum dice that have, oh, you can't see that at all. They have blue inlay for all the numbers on them.
They still look cool
And
as fuck.
yeah, on the D20, instead of a 20, they have a sapphire, like a lab-made sapphire that's inlaid into it. Do you want to guess how much this set of
Dang.
dice costs?
$600.
Oh no, you're terrible at guessing value of gems. It's
Yep.
$300. For
Okay.
just because of the like one sapphire that is in the D20.
Yeah.
It's fucking
That's
wild.
ridiculous.
And now the reason we're actually here,
Oh,
the pop cultures. Yeah, 2011 first community D&D, 2014 second. What is your
woot.
favorite D&D thing, like aside from community?
And Dungeons and Randomness.
Let's say, what's your favorite like D&D media, like, or D&D inspired media, and then your favorite like D&D thing. So like, what's something that was inspired by D&D, like ET and community, and then what's your favorite like podcast or like
Wait, I
actual
forgot
play or
to say this
whatever?
earlier.
Yeah.
I forgot to say this earlier. Kind of on the ET track. I hate ET, but my favorite ET related thing is
Okay, good start.
the Bob's Burgers episode where Gene finds the talking toilet. Have you seen that one?
No, I don't know if I
And
have. I have to have, yeah.
it's like a spoof on ET, but Gene is like walking home and he finds his talking toilet and he the battery on it starts to die and he has to like plug it into a power source. And there's this guy following him who says his name is Max Flush because he stole the talking toilet. It's like
Dumb,
one of those
dumb
fancy,
name.
like the fancy Japanese toilets that do it all and talk to you and like tell you jokes and stuff. And they like have a bidet function and everything. And yeah, like shows him, he puts it in his little red wagon and he's pulling out his bike and he jumps off a cliff and it, obviously it's a fucking toilet, so it just like comes crashing down. It's so good.
That's it. That's George's favorite D&D thing overall.
Yeah,
Like,
that's
period.
what
Period.
E.T. Bob's Burgers.
ET Bob's Burgers.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Community is just such a great reference. And Pearson is fucking thrown with the like safety signs, the wet floor signs and stuff.
I think. Oh. I actually just like quickly looked up a few extra things because I got too head hurty before. So, Futurama also references D&D in Bender's Game, which I completely forgot about. That 70s show references D&D because they're all a bunch of nerds, even though no one admits it except for Eric. The Big Bang Theory, whatever.
Oh, but yeah.
Freaks and Geeks, which actually might be my favorite. I fucking love Freaks and Geeks, dude. Community episodes, the IT crowd.
Oh,
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then Buffy also has an episode, which I didn't know about.
I've seen every single episode of Buffy, and I don't remember that. But it's also been a long time since I've watched them all.
Are you saying your memory's slipping?
No, I'm saying that I might have slept through it.
How? That doesn't count as watching all of it if you slept through it.
That's true.
What the heck? Okay, so there's an IMDb list of most popular Dungeons & Dragons movies and TV shows. And the number one is Angel, the Buffy spinoff.
What?
Yeah. Second is Wet Hot American Summer.
Interesting.
Third is Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Okay.
Fourth is Critical Role. Then the 2000s Dungeons & Dragons movie, Mazes & Monsters, which I've never heard of. Scorched, nope. Which I've never heard of. Record of the Lotus War, which is an ongoing Japanese, or it's an ongoing anime, I guess. Bickford Schmeckler's Cool Ideas. Number 10 is the Dungeons and Dragons Wrath of the Dragon God movie. 11 is Bender's Game. And there's just a lot of weird stuff. Like, I went to go see Suicide Squad a few weeks ago with a couple of friends of the podcast, Emma and Logan. Shout out to The Realist. And there was a poster for Onward, that like new movie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I watched that yesterday. It's very good. Or it's like, it's good, like, period. But I was like, oh, I want to watch that. And Logan was like, why? Like, why are you so excited for it? And I was like, dude, it's just D&D but a movie. And he said, everything's D&D but a movie now. Like, we just watched Suicide Squad. There's a ranger. There's a fighter. There's technically a bard. There's a rogue. Like, everything fits. Like, they're going on a journey to get to an end, to get to a treasure, which is a jewel. Like, and I was like, oh, dude, stop it. So, yeah, even in, like, little ways, D&D's affected media, like, a lot. Maybe Suicide Squad's my favorite D&D spinoff thing. It might be.
Oh, my God.
I really
Well, then
like
that
Suicide
just
Squad.
Makes me want to argue that if everything is D&D, then D&D is, like, the hero's journey, which is a Joseph Campbell thing that says all stories ever have a hero that goes through different transformations and, like, different things, and they started off with, like, the Odyssey and the Iliad, and then like, now you have, like, you have the suiting up scenes, like when Achilles is getting his battle armor on after he gets his new weapon forged, which is a complete parallel to something like Batman when he's like, oh, I just got my new suit and now I'm gonna put it on and
like
go fight crime.
Or, spoilers for Suicide Squad, when they're all in the like funhouse and they have to like put on the new clothes. You haven't watched it, have you?
No.
Okay, there's a scene where they all put on new clothes. That's it. That's
fair. I did watch Lego Batman the other day for the first time.
I still haven't watched that, but Will Arnett is Batman and I trust him.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sue and I have been watching Lego Masters. It's kind of like our thing right now.
Cute.
We watched the semifinals today. It was Star Wars themed. They had to build a droid, like a working droid, and then they had to build, like they had a selection of stills from like all the movies, and they had to pick one and like recreate it in Legos. And they only had like 8 hours to do it, which is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I was gonna ask how long you have to do that, because like I just can't make my hands move that fast.
Yeah, well, like the first episode, they did a working like an amusement park ride, and they had like 26 hours to do it. But like the further the challenges go, like the less time they have to build them. I think it seems like, because they only had 4 hours to build the droid, and then they had 8 hours to do the like whole movie scene, and they were like intense scenes too. The winners did the bunker scene on Endor when the Ewoks are attacking the stormtroopers at the bunker, and then someone else did the the scene from Last Jedi where all the red sand is everywhere, you know.
Wait, do you mean when Luke shows up again? Because that scene What's
he like when
about?
Everyone when everyone is attacking, like before Luke shows up. You okay, know what
but,
I mean?
But yeah, that's like, that's like, the general scene though. Right.
Yeah, there's okay. like the TIE fighter coming in, and then you got like...
Oh yeah, and everyone like drops the tail things, so there's yeah. like a really big plumes of like
yeah.
sand. Yeah, that the seems really cool. Sand. That's honestly yeah. the only they thing did. I liked about that movie. Not they exaggerating. The movie was
and
ass.
Then and then the other team did the AT-AT scene on nice. Hoth. Yeah. The winners one was really cool. That's the team I want to win anyway. Hmm. But so we've been watching that, and we've been playing with some Legos in our free time. Mm.
You're unemployed. You can't afford Legos.
Well, Stu had some figurines or like some minifigs already, and then he had some like sets that he wasn't really excited about like keeping together, so we broke those down to use them as parts. And then I got a $20 set, which is not really as big as you think it is, but...
Oh, can we call out executive producer Dick Wolf, our Stubert Hog, for the one tattoo he has? Is it relevant now? Would you like to do the honors?
He has a Lego stormtrooper sitting on a curb drinking a cup of coffee.
And what's the next tattoo he's going to get?
He doesn't know. He did say something about Lego Iron Man for a minute. But he thinks that he wants to get, like, Lego Death Star in the background, like, behind the Stormtrooper. So, yeah.
Shout out to Stu for having the coolest, like, sequential tattoo ideas of anyone in this modern age.
It's also, like, super... It's coffee, it's Star Wars, and it's Legos, which are, like, three of his most favorite things ever. So,
yep.
It works. So, anyway, I was like, I've never seen any of the Lego movies. So, we watched the first Lego movie, and then we watched Lego Batman, and we'll probably watch the... Like, that was last, like, 2 weekends ago, and then last weekend. I bet this weekend we'll probably watch the second Lego movie, but... Mm-hmm. It's an education. I never really... Like, I had Legos, but I never really played with them that much when I was a kid. Like, I didn't do crazy shit with them or anything, and I, like... didn't care about keeping them or anything, so this is all new to me. I did make a Lego Frankenstein head though a couple weeks ago, so my next build is gonna be a cemetery, but I don't think I have enough pieces yet. I did just get paid, so maybe I'll splurge.
Don't use your last paycheck on your on second Legos. To last paycheck on Legos. Yeah.
Do don't tell me how to care. Live my life.
You know I don't care. Oh, a podcast that I'm gonna start listening to, very excited about, shout out to my friend Meg, she's really cool, is Dungeons and Daddies. Have you listened to that one yet?
No.
Okay, so it... the
are they daddies as in fathers or daddies as in...
That's an ongoing joke, daddies. Apparently. So okay. It, like, starts off as... I think there's four guys in the campaign, like four players. So they're on their way to take their kids to soccer practice, and they all wake up in a fantasy setting. So the initial purpose for like their journey is to find their kids so they can get back to like our world and take their kids to soccer practice, or to find out if their kids are still there and just like get back. So in every episode they say like, welcome to Dungeons and Daddies, a not BDSM podcast about like Dungeons and Dragons. But I guess over the course of like the podcast, as anything that goes on for long enough goes, it spirals. You get some lows, you get some highs, and they have to change it to Welcome to Dungeons and Daddies in occasionally BDSM podcasts. And I'm like very excited to listen to that. The Adventure Zone, I'm loving right now. It's very, very good.
I'm subscribed to that one, but I've only listened to a small amount, and I think I went too far back, like before they really got their, you know, like stride. So. Mm-hmm.
That's fair. I'm starting with their current campaign, which is only like 10 episodes in, something like that. And I'm really liking it so far. And after I catch up, I'm going to go back and listen to the one before that. But yeah, I guess my friend Salem was telling me that so there's three brothers and the dad, and they like were rotating who was DMing each one. But one of the brothers gets back-to-back seasons instead. And there's some other like weird stuff that happens, so, and they do still have to, like you said, get their footing kind of each time. So, yeah, I guess it takes a little bit to get into, but their current season is very good. It's very meme-y. It's just accurate. But yeah, that's all I got. That's a history of D&D
Woo.
and a fair amount of tangents. Yeah.
Nerd stuff.
Pretty much, yeah. I just want to talk about D&D and how my friend Johnny was in Manhattan recently, and we were talking. He had a one shot prepared. So my friend Tony and I, Antonio Ochoa, the goat, may he live on forever. He and I were like the players in it. And oh yeah, I forgot you know Tony too. So yeah,
I
we
can't picture Tony playing D&D. This opens up a whole new world
seriously,
for me.
no,
Yeah.
Tony's a huge nerd, man. He's like one of
Okay,
the
but most of what I know about Tony, I've also heard from Jared, so like.
no. Okay, would I be friends with Tony if all he cared about was sports? Do you know me? Like,
That's true.
no, he is
And
a.
I only met him the one time we were at the 80s party. Was that where we were? I can't remember.
I
We were
wasn't there
sitting at
for
Maze.
that. I don't know. Oh yeah, I wasn't there
We
for
were
that.
sitting at Maze.
No, that was like
No, it wasn't
Halloween.
you. I was with Emily and he came to talk to Emily, I think.
Yeah.
Never mind, it wasn't you.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
I miss Emily. But yeah, he's a Renaissance man of cultures. But
That
it was he
makes
and
sense.
I like as players in this one shot, and Johnny and I were talking just about like stuff and things, and I like made a reference to something, and Johnny was like, "Oh, you know Gary Gygax is a terrible person, right?" And I was like, or not Gary Gygax, yeah, no, Gary Gygax. He was like, "You know he's a terrible person, right?" And I was like, "No. What do you mean?" He's like, "Dude, please just like do some research, have some popcorn with you. You're gonna have a great time." And he was right. I did for that part. Like, his life is so interesting for no reason. And it's, or I guess the reasons that he's a terrible person. So it's a lot of coke benders and like hanging out in Hollywood. But also, his legacy is gigantic. Oh, he's dead. Forgot to say that. So,
Oh, well, that makes sense.
yeah.
He lived a fast life.
Yeah, he had two strokes and then died, so that's what happens when
Damn,
you
it's
do a
all the
lot of
coke, man.
cocaine. Yeah.
Yep. Dick Wolf just sent me a message that said, "I've always thought your podcast needed a rap." Because I said, "Well, he's making pizza right now." And he says, "ETA?" And I was like, "We're wrapping up now." And he says, "I've always thought your podcast needed a rap." So my response was the Anthropology rap from the Anthropology episode of Community.
My
Kingdom
immediate.
Mammalia, Phylum Chordata.
No, my
I'm
immediate
not gonna do the whole
was
thing.
the when they're studying Spanish in episode like three.
Donde esta la
La
biblioteca? That's
biblioteca.
episode one.
Is
That's
it
episode
episode one?
one.
Shit, wow.
Yeah. Cause like in the third episode, like episode three or whatever, they have the other, like, the guys that play them in the episode where Abed's movies predict everything that happens like 2 weeks
Yes.
ahead of time. They have those two guys sitting on the couch doing the Spanish rap, and then Abed's like, or no, I can't remember, it's Abed or Troy, but they're like, "Are you trying to hurt me right now?"
That sounds like Troy. It really
Yep.
does. It,
Also, I remember once Danny Pudi, the Christmas episode where they have to like sub in for the Glee Club, and Troy and Abed have the rap about like, "I'm Jehovah's most secret witness."
Yep.
And I remember Danny Pudi, it was like bonus content or something, and Danny Pudi was like, "Do you know how intimidating it is to do a rap with Donald Glover?" Like, that's fair.
They're super tangent. So Joseph Gordon-Levitt has a website where you can like upload content or whatever, and he tweeted about it,
Interesting.
and I was like, oh, I'll like do one of these things, and Hope was like, oh, did you do that thing? Like, and I was like, I mean, obviously, it was written in the same way that the outro to That Power from the album Camp was written, and apparently that means nothing to anybody except for me, but I have that monologue memorized because that album is gas, and that monologue is gas. It's so good. Tony, you'll get it. Don't worry, it's fine. There's a gnat now.
I don't know what you just said because my Skype froze.
Oh, well, Donald Glover is gas. Exclamation point, fire emoji. That's all you need to know. It's
fine. Neon gas.
Neon gas, yeah. All right. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Do you have anything else you want to say before I wrap up, Georgia?
No.
Cool. If you've liked what you heard today or have comments or just general things you'd like to say, you can contact us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram by searching Broadcast from the Belfry in the search bar. You can also email us at broadcastfromthebelfry@gmail.com.
Woo!
I had to take a deep breath.
You didn't say that a lot faster than normal.
I did. I thought I couldn't. I'm so dehydrated right now. Drink water, you unemployed hoes. Social distancing doesn't include water. You know, like, you need to still drink that. Thank you to Marshall for making our sick intro. You can find his information in the description comments section. He does really good work. It makes it sound very professional, and we appreciate it. What else do I say now? That's it, right? I don't remember.
Yep.
It's been 40 years since we've recorded.
What accent is that? You didn't ask me what my, or you didn't tell me what my accent was today. I am offended.
Oh, you have to ask. It would have been yield. It would have been the accent I just did. Oh, I'm also watching The Witcher right now. You know, year late.
Yeesh.
It's D&D. I don't know. It ties in. There's a lot of tatas.
Yeah. I watched the first episode and Stu kept having to tell me what was happening because if you haven't played the game, then apparently it's really hard to figure out. And like when it keeps jumping back and forth,
yes,
those are two completely different time periods. There's no way to know that.
No, there's not. I assumed it was two different time periods because of Westworld, which also season 3 is out right now. If you haven't watched Westworld, please do it. You'll love it. So I kind of got the vibe that it was multiple times, but there's no indication really at all. It's ridiculous. But that fight at the beginning, have you seen? I think it's a TikTok of Geralt fighting that girl, but Toxic is playing over the song.
No.
It's so good. So he like walks, or in the middle of our outro, whatever. If you stop listening, I don't care. I do care. I'm very appreciative of you. So Geralt like is in the town square, right? In that like big fight scene. And he goes, fuck. And he like does that spin things he does with his sword, and then you just hear and like Toxic plays literally from that moment up until, spoilers for The Witcher, fast forward 15 seconds if you don't want to hear this, he kills the girl at the end of that fight. Like it's it is perfectly that amount of time. So yeah, it's very good. I only watched watching The Witcher because of listening to Toxic over that fight scene. I have a brand. But yeah,
that makes sense.
Thank you for doing that stuff. Like and subscribe. It helps us out immensely. We very much appreciate it. And Georgia, what do we say to the kind D&D nerds and nerdlings that may listen to this podcast?
Thanks for listening and stay spooky.
Ye old sluts.